flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Mike in Lower Gwinnett. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing, Joe?
Fantastic, man. Very excited.
I'm excited to listen to you guys every day. As we go through these 2 weeks, I'm excited to experience this with my family. But I don't want to be the negative. You got to calm me down is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to give you – well, I also want to give you a phrase. I am worried now that Kellen Moore is going to go to the Saints. And yesterday you were saying he would be crazy to take that job.
No, I didn't say that. Others said that. I would take the job because I want to triple my salary and – you know,
go
for the rebuild. I mean, you probably got a 3 to 5 year window, maybe not five, but you got a window and, you know, go triple your salary.
All right. Well, then let's get to the big game then. The one key thing, yes, Andy Reid's there. Mahomes is there. Spags, he scares me.
Oh, of course.
Defensive coordinator. So you got Spags going up against Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore, are we going to get this other, what happened with Gannon in Arizona? We're going to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Get interviewed. And
it's an unbelievable. Let me just say this, Mike, for those that don't know what Mike was just referencing, it's a fascinating dynamic that the game is played in the same town. Kellen Moore very well may be about to take over. And
right.
It's exactly what happened with Jonathan Gannon out
it's
in Phoenix.
It's wild, actually.
It's ridiculous.
Don't you take some solace in the fact that in this last game, we watched our quarterback get up to the line of scrimmage, the very first play of the game, and say, okay, this look, my offensive coordinator has equipped me with the ability to change the play to one that works.
Well, no, that's a good thing.
Happened repeatedly.
No, that's good.
And that's Kellen Moore.
No, that's
his doing.
I get it. All I'm saying is this, and Mike, I think you're saying the same thing. I/we want 100% of Kellen Moore's football focus to be on trying to win the Super Bowl. 100.
Yeah.
Like, he's allowed to sleep. He's allowed to go to the bathroom. Allowed to have a little bit of time with his family. And everything, and eat. And everything else that's football, which might be 16 hours.
While you work. How about that?
All of it has to be Eagles. All of it. And it probably won't be.
I want to answer Richie. Because the Rams game, I know it snowed, but our offense didn't look good. And the week before the Rams game, Kellen Moore, if I'm correct, was interviewing for head coaching jobs.
Yeah, I think he
three
said
of them in a 24-hour period.
Right, I believe that is the time.
That's the one that upset me the most was the Friday. I believe it was before the NFC.
Friday and Saturdays.
Because, and I know this notion from some people are like, it's, hey, they get Friday date night with their wives,
right.
So why can't they? And I go, Friday date night with your wife is not a life-changing decision
you're
making.
Nor something you have to prepare for.
Oh, totally.
There's a difference between doing an interview and preparing for an interview.
I just can't imagine how much film goes into getting ready to watch a new team. Like, talk about a new team.
Yeah.
I would think you have to watch so much more film on a team like the Saints that you just didn't even really interact with much over the last few years.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do a deep dive just to be prepared to show your best stuff when interviewed.
Mike, if I'm the hiring team, to a large extent, I want to hear the guy say, I am not going to do the deepest dive with you right now because I am preparing for a playoff game. I'm telling you that up front. Like, I would respect that, but maybe some owners who are all billionaires, maybe some of them would be offended by that. And obviously, we don't know behind closed doors what Kellen Moore said to them.
You would think it looks good if you're the offensive coordinator who goes in there and is completely ready, prepared for this team, even though you're not coaching that team, the team that you're interviewing for. Wow, you've got an uncanny knack for our roster, Kellen Moore. How do you know so much? Oh, well, I'm just a football savant.
Yeah.
You know that's what he's trying to convey.
Yeah,
all right, Mike, that takes work and
Mike,
time.
Give me an answer, bud, for Post Malone tickets. Famous phrase.
Here we go. I'm strutting while I do this, and this does go with the game. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Woo!
You got it, Mike. Thanks for the phone call, man. 215-592-9494. Ross, what's something else? And by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. Ross, what's something else that stood out to you from the NFC Championship game, perhaps we haven't touched on with you in the last half hour? I mean, it was a tremendous performance. The defense, I thought, actually wasn't as good as they normally are. They created turnovers, but I thought at times weren't as sharp as usual. Give me a few other nuggets that hit you.
Yeah, I'll give you two I think are interesting. Number one, Jordan Davis showed up on multiple plays. It wasn't just the sack that he got. Jordan Davis, you know, looked good and made several plays in that
game.
Are
you at all worried about the 13 plays? I mean, just 13 snaps he was in?
You know what, John? If he makes a couple plays in 13 snaps, I'll take it. I will take it because there's a lot of games where he doesn't really make any plays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that's the key, to get him to make three or four, like, noticeable plays in the game, if it's only 15 snaps, that's fine. They have Ajumma and Milton Williams and obviously Jalen Carter. The other thing, just looking ahead to the Super Bowl, I'm a little concerned. I'm a lot of concerned about Kelce because Zach Ertz kind of ate the Eagles up. Hmm. I mean, it got lost in the shuffle. Zach had, what do you have, like 11 catches, 100 some yards?
Way too many.
So, you know, if you're Andy Reid and the Chiefs, I know what I'm thinking right now. If Ertz can eat up the Eagles middle of the field, then what's Travis Kelce going to be able to do in a Super Bowl?
So, Ross, who is that? Is that Bond or is that Cooper DeJean or is that one of the outside corners that takes him? Who takes him?
Yeah, well, so
is that Quinyon Mitchell?
It varies. They're usually in zone coverage, it's going to be the linebackers. And in man coverage, a lot of times it was Gardner Johnson. And I was actually, you know, Zach got Chauncey Gardner Johnson a couple times. So, by the way, kudos to Zach. I mean, absolute warrior. Yeah. It was like almost painful to watch him playing that well for the opposition. But that's something to really, really keep in mind going to the Super Bowl, that Fangio needs to have a better plan for Travis Kelce. Otherwise, you know, Mahomes, he's not afraid to just dink and dunk up the field back and forth.
Yep, totally agree. All right, let's get to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Hey, team. How's everyone doing?
Doing well, Ed.
Joe, you got me all excited. I heard you say Ed from Fit, and then you pulled the 180 on me.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, it's a very, very intimidating group this morning. You got two Stanford guys, you got a Princeton guy, and you got a Fairfield University guy. That's some, like, heavy hitters right there.
I'll add to the joke. Fairfield is the only school I got into, right? So, thank God. Sure. So, but I love Fairfield.
Did you apply to a lot of schools?
I applied to three schools.
Okay.
Yeah, I went one.
What
one
were the other two? I want to root for the schools that denied you.
Rejected at Georgetown, which is hard to do when you've had three older siblings go there.
Wow, you didn't.
So three older siblings, but my high school tenure was fraught with a lot
Does the legacy concept increase in strength for each kid?
Well,
like for each of your siblings,
I
thought so.
It normally helps.
You are a shoo-in at Georgetown, DeCamera.
Look, I got
how bad were your grades?
Well, I got a D in Dr. Hart's class and a C minus in Father Garber's class at the prep. So
what classes were those?
Chemistry and some kind of math.
I was going to say science, I'm sure.
Goodness. Yeah,
you know what that tells
some
me,
kind
Joe?
Of math? You don't even know
were
the math.
Were you even trying?
No, but if you get a D, Joe, you didn't care. Like, if you're getting a D, any kids out there listening, getting a D, you go meet with the teacher,
Ross,
and you say, I can't get a D. What do I need to do to not get a D? You didn't care enough,
Ross,
Joe.
I'm going to give you the ultimate I didn't care story.
Spot on, Ross.
Ross, I'm going to make it worse, and then we'll get right back to the Eagles, but I'm going to give you into the mindset of a 17-year-old hammer. English, final year, first quarter, B, standard fare. I'm trying a little bit, okay? Second quarter, F. Didn't care. Exam, got to crank it up. I just got an F. A. Final grade for the first semester, I believe, was a C+, I think. Third quarter, I had promised my teacher I would try. A. Fourth quarter, I got annoyed. F. I got two A's and two F's in the same year.
That's unbelievable.
That's not possible.
That's hard to do.
See, it's almost worse than just like failing across.
It's
ridiculous.
So, it really is pathetic.
At least if you got F's across, like, all right, he just is struggling.
Sirianni would
you're
cut
like,
me.
Oh, you could do
I'm
it.
I'm surprised you're even saying it publicly.
It is what it is.
We have that feeling all the time.
Right. Proud. Proud of having A's and F's.
Ed, we're cutting into your time here, bud. Give me what you got on the Eagles.
Well, I did start it, but anyway, as much as I didn't like to see Zach Ertz running up and down the field on us like old times, he did most of that damage within the 20s, didn't get into the end zone. So, I mean, if there's one thing that we have to give the Chiefs for the game, if I don't want to give anything, but yeah. We're not going to stop them fully. Like, if we have to give Travis Kelce 12 catches for 90 to 100 yards but no touchdowns, I think that's a net win.
You know, here's where I'll disagree with you in this game. Normally, I agree. Jim Johnson had a similar philosophy. Eagles would struggle against tight ends at time in the Jim Johnson years, and it's part of, like, hey, unless it's the end zone, it doesn't matter as much. But Travis Kelce is their main weapon. This is their A.J. Brown in the passing game. It just is. So I don't view it in a traditional tight end sense. I mean, it's why sometimes you put your best cornerback on a tight end. Sometimes. It's rare, but sometimes.
Put your best cornerback and your safety,
yeah.
Or and a linebacker, or and another cornerback, or and your nickel. Yeah, he's going to be clamped down.
Yeah. Ed, give me a great answer here for a famous phrase.
It's out of here.
Oh, yeah. Love that one, man. That's a great one, Harry the K. All right, let's get to something else Sirianni said. You know, after the game, I thought this was really interesting. He was asked a question. I believe there's so much audio we have from different press conferences and podiums and all this. I think this was the press conference after the game on Sunday night. Nick Sirianni asked a question about Jalen, but really broadens his answer out to the team in a way that I thought was very interesting. Here's Nick Sirianni the other day.
What do they say about Jalen that he doesn't care about how it looks or what his stats are?
Or what anybody else says. Yeah. That he's a winner, that he's selfless. I showed a couple clips last night of the team. And one picture I showed that showed love was Nolan Smith coming out with N'Kobe Dean's jersey last game. That shows love. Then I showed a clip of Nolan and Jalen that kind of showed of them performing a stunt and Jalen saying, "Hey, thank you for trusting me," and Nolan saying, "You don't need to thank me, just go do it." So that showed trust. And then I showed a clip of Jalen talking about we don't care how we win, regardless of what anyone says about him, all right, or me, or whatever it is. That shows selflessness, and that's team stuff. Again, it's not the best groups of individuals that win. You have to come together as a football team. And those clips through the playoffs that I got to show last night, you know, again, I kind of get emotional on things. I'm not going to get emotional right now, but, man, it just showed the team. It's about team. This is the greatest team sport there is. I think that gets overlooked sometimes with, oh, look at how this play performed and look at the scheme here. Like, it ain't about, it's part of it, it's about that. But it's about team.
Look, that's great stuff. I mean, it just is. His messaging has been very consistent and, in my opinion, very impressive. All right, Sirianni will join us in a half hour. Well, the great music that leads in to our guy, Mike Quick, every single Wednesday when he joins us. But this is no ordinary Wednesday, because the last time Mike was on WIP, the Eagles advanced to the Super Bowl. And one of the next times he'll be on WIP, the Eagles will be in the Super Bowl. Mike Quick with us every week at this time.
Mike Quick, sponsored by the Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook app. New users get up to $1,000 in casino bonus back. Get to betparks.com for all the details. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What an exciting time. Let's welcome Quick Six to the show. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, everybody. And you're no ordinary Joe.
Ah, thanks, buddy. I'm a less than ordinary. I'm inadequate. That's what I used to hear from the women in college. Joe, you're inadequate. All right, so Mike, let's get to it. Whoa. Well,
you know. You really want to
wait? Too much information.
Hey, now.
Well, they said it.
Way too
do you,
much.
Do you realize what you just said?
I do.
Man,
no,
people
it's
are
true.
That's kind of
on the
air.
Shameless.
Well, keep that to
keep your chin up, kid.
Yeah,
I do feel bad for you if that's the case. Yeah. I'm sorry about
and,
that.
Rube, it's tough, man.
Hang in there, kid.
And I'm surrounded by studs, and I'm not one of them, but what are you going to do?
Good point.
All right, so, yeah. Mike, let's get to it. My God, there's a lot of ways to go here. But let's just start with this, Mike. The last game, you know, you and Merrill in the booth, Devin on the sideline. How thrilling is it to call a game when you see the Eagles advance to the Super Bowl and you're, you know, one of the primary people calling it? What's that like?
So it's really special, Joe. And I think I kind of alluded to that when we talked last week when I told you we have to enjoy this ride, enjoy where we are right now. And I truly believe that this is a very special time for the area, everyone involved. It's rare that you get to do what we're doing and the experience that we're having right now. There are so many teams and people that wish that they were in our place, so we got to enjoy this. It's really special, and I am just kind of soaking in every moment.
It's good. Yeah, you should, Mike. You should for sure. Especially because, you know, your career, you brought it, but obviously the organization wasn't as good back then. So, you know, it's a special time right now. You know, Mike, I'm curious. We haven't done a deep dive yet on this team versus 22, but in the limited ways we've talked about it and some callers have referenced it in the last 3 days, the general sentiment has been that this team is better than the team 2 years ago. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I, you know, I look at all the different facets of the team. I do believe that this team is better. I think the roster top to bottom is better. And quite honestly, I think the way they're coached now is better. And I know the guys that were good coaches that were on the staff then, but I look at what these guys are doing now with the talent that they have, and I just think that they are doing a superior job in making sure that these guys are, one, ready, and, two, they have all the right calls in place to make these guys successful.
How do you keep the prep for this the same as it always is, Mike, when everything is so completely different? You know, the coaches always talk about limiting distractions. That's all this is for the next 2 weeks, is one huge distraction.
You know what I think about a lot is you remember the Alshon Jeffrey interview? Where the guy was trying to ask Alshon about how much fun all of this is. And Alshon said, man, I don't need any of this.
he wanted nothing to do with it.
I remember
that. I don't want any of this crap. He said a different word. He said, I don't need any of this crap. He said, we could have stayed in Philly and we could have come down here on Friday or Saturday and played the game, and that would have been fine for me. And I get that. I understand that because, you know, as much as you want everyone to enjoy themselves, you still, if you're a player, you have a game to play. You still, if in my position, Merrill's position, we have a job to do. So you can't get caught up in all the hype, and you have to prepare the right way and make sure that, you know, all the pageantry and all the hype doesn't interfere and affect what you're doing on the field.
Yeah, yeah. We have an incredible turnover differential since that bye. I want to say the number I heard was like we're plus 27 or something crazy since the bye week. How do we keep that going? How do we keep that takeaway trend intact? Against the Commanders, it was 28 points off those four turnovers. It's been a huge reason why we win. We talk all the time about Jalen. The thing he does better than all the rest is he does not turn it over. He values that ball so much. The takeaway trend, it feels like it's fickle, though, doesn't it?
I
know that they practice it. I don't know how much we can depend on it.
Well, first of all, just protecting the ball and realizing the importance of the ball. Every team that's won in the playoffs, and we all know this, they're the team that have won the giveaway-takeaway ratio. If you don't give the ball away, you stand a much better chance of winning. That's as easy as I can put it. But these guys actually do practice taking the ball away. first of all, you're in good position. They're really good tacklers, and everyone flies to the ball. But then when they get to the ball, if you're not the guy that's wrapping up, then you're punching it out. And they practice this every day, punching the ball out. If you're able to watch their practices, when a guy runs around or gets near a defender, he's trying to punch the ball out. So to me, just that practice every day, eventually it's going to pay off in games, and it's not just, you know, serendipitous that, hey, we got turnovers. This is something that we practice.
Yeah, no question. Mike Quick with us right now. So, Mike, you know, I'd asked you earlier if the Eagles are better. I'm going to ask you, are the Chiefs worse than 2 years ago? Their record is still exceptional, but I think there is a general sentiment they're not as good. Do you agree with that sentiment?
So I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I've looked at them, but I don't have a deep dive into them the way I do the Eagles. I don't think that they're – I think they're just as good. I don't think that they've lost anything. I know that they've got some issues on their offensive line, but I think their receivers are good. I think defensively they're really, really good. And Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, one of the brightest minds in the game, and you know how good Andy Reid is. So I don't know if that's true, that they're not as good.
How concerned are you, Mike, about the offensive line situation, you know, with Cam? It feels like he sounds confident about his ability to recuperate over the 2 weeks. But we know Landon was injured while he was trying to fill in at center, and Landon struggled in that game. How confident are you that Cam and Landon will be good to go when the time comes for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it, quite honestly, because they've got 2 weeks to prepare and get ready for that game and to get all the treatment in. We know that these doctors, and these trainers, yeah, they spend so much time trying to get these guys back to peak performance. And I just think with 2 weeks, yeah, these guys will be ready. We've seen Landon go out so many games and you think that he's done, but somehow he fights back. I didn't think Cam would be able to play in that game because of a back injury, but he gutted it out and he played. Man, these guys are going to play.
Mm-hmm. Reminder, Mike Quick with us right now, but reminder, Nick Sirianni in 12 minutes on the program. Mike, after the game, Jalen did something I thought was pretty interesting. He lit up a big old cigar, and it struck me like that cigar was more than just my team just won a game and we're going to the Super Bowl. It struck me like a nonverbal way to say, I'm better than a lot of you think I am. I'm better, Joe DeCamera, than you think I am. Do you think there was a little something extra in that cigar?
Well, Joe, you're finally starting to come around a little bit.
Well,
you know?
I admire how he played, and I've always admired him. I still don't think he's that great. I mean, it was his best game, so I know some people say, well, he's always got that in there, and I don't really think that's the norm, but he played great. I acknowledge he played great.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to him lighting up a cigar after the next game. That cigar really didn't mean anything. I want to see everyone, and I'm going to be right in there with him. And my plan is to light up a cigar after the next game.
Yeah. Mike, how about this? Let's go to the Sirianni question, because it's similar. Another highly criticized, you know, member of the Eagles organization. I mean, they've been the two most,
yes,
obviously.
Yes.
We know when Nick joins us in 10 minutes, he's not going to strut. He never struts. And he very well may not strut if they win the Super Bowl, but he might. I mean, and he certainly would have good reason to. Would it be as easy for you to refrain from a little bit, I told you so, or I knew I had it, and you guys doubted me? Like, he's been so consistent, but man, it's got to take a lot to hold back what he probably wants to say. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, when a guy like Nick, of course, I think that he wants to tell you, but he understands that he needs to hold back and not tell you exactly what he's feeling. But listen, it makes no sense that the guy doesn't get the credit that he should get. Look at what he's done. It's amazing to me, people that still doubt him, people that still have so many stones that they throw at this guy, when you look at what he's done. And one of the things that strikes me is when I see players responding to people that say things against him, and it fires one of his players up, or they wanting to come to his defense or come to his back.
That just tells me all that I need to know about what he's done in that locker room.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Mike, we look forward to talking to next week, obviously, and good luck in the prep. I know it's a big responsibility to call a Super Bowl, and you know, you and Merrill and Devin, you guys are doing great. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff. Mike. Devin, 5-0, by the way, undefeated.
Yeah, got it. I mean, look.
Undefeated Eagles
no
with Devin.
Deal.
Pressure's
no big deal.
On. Pressure's you know? On. As if I didn't feel pressure already. Like, it's really on. Got to go 6-0.
All right. That's what Steve Fisher did. Seltzer, did you get the Steve Fisher reference?
Steve Fisher.
Steve
how about
Fisher.
That?
Yes. Yeah. Michigan coach, 89.
Sure,
the coach bails out right before the NCAA tournament. Bang! Steve Fisher steps in. Ramil Robinson makes the free throws. They go 6-0 win.
You know, amazing. You know what's really crazy, though? I have not worked an away game yet. The Eagles have
That's
been
wild.
Home all five games because they were home the final two games. And then I think we all assumed they'd be flying to Detroit
right,
for the
right.
NFC Championship. Ooh. They got it. Yeah. They got to play at home. So.
It's a game of adjustments, Devin.
I'm looking forward to covering my first game on the road.
Yeah, oh, by the way,
they're going to throw you off your game.
Uh-oh.
No, honestly, I'm looking forward to not having to wear like 10 layers. That is a bit distracting sometimes when reporting, you know, making sure I can feel my hands and toes. So I'm very much looking forward to the dome in warm weather.
By the way, question had been asked to us a day or two ago on the show, are the Eagles the home or road team from an official standpoint? They are the home team. And with that, it is going to be the green jerseys, which are the jerseys they've worn the last three Super Bowls, 04, 17, and 22. That same color is what it's what you're going to get.
But so the like white it. Jerseys yeah. that I teams have won are 16
Kelly.
And 4?
Not, well, not no. Kelly, we don't
it's
think.
Not, it's not allowed. The alternate right. jerseys are
not allowed.
Allowed.
All right, Ross,
midnight green.
And Ross Tucker with us here for a few final minutes, and Nick Sirianni surely. Ross, that question I just asked Mike about Sirianni, let's take it a step further. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, do you think Sirianni lets the beast out a little bit? Do you think he tells you what he probably wants to tell you but is held back?
Well, before I forget, Devin, all I want in the pregame show is reports on the field conditions and making sure that the D linemen are not slipping. Okay?
That's true.
I'm not going to be there, so just watch them in pregame. Yeah. I just want to make sure nobody is slipping. Because they still would have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago if Hassan Reddick wasn't falling every other play.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
I got you, Ross.
You know what? I thought about this, Joe, a lot the last couple days about Sirianni. Because I asked him, you know, I told you I asked him the difference between this year and 2 years ago. And I asked about Hurts. And he says, you know what? That guy's been so doubted. I don't understand why. All he does is win. You know what I realized? When he's talking about Hurts, it could just as easily be him talking about himself.
That's so true.
So he doesn't need to do it. He can make the point about himself through Hurts. Because everything that applies to Hurts and like, is it the talent around him and is he really that great and all the criticism he gets, it all applies to Sirianni too. So if Sirianni, all he needs to do is go all in on supporting Hurts, which he would do anyway, and every point he makes is actually the exact same point in his favor.
Well
it's
said.
Actually amazing.
No, you're right. Hey, Ross, good stuff, bud. We look forward to talking to you next week and it's just awesome. It's so exciting to have the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys next week.
All right, good stuff, man. Twitter poll, actually, questions of the day. We got two of them. The first, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who do you think is more responsible for the Chiefs' success? Is it the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, or the coach, Andy Reid? Obviously, both are all-timers. And the second poll question, should the 76ers trade Paul George for Jimmy Butler? We don't know that they can. I mean, we know they legally can, but we don't know if Miami would make the trade. But if Miami would do that trade, should the Sixers? And I think this will be an overwhelming yes in the poll results, is my sense. Sixers beat LeBron last night, but they got to win a lot more games to put a charge into making the playoffs. All right, 215-592-9494. Sirianni shortly. Rube, give me a thought here, man. What's rattling through your brain?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think about this Eagles team this year, and I start to compare, you know, baseball teams to versus football teams and where they are. I see the two that this 2024-2025 Eagles team as a combination of the 2008 team and the 2011 team. And this is what I mean. In 2008, towards the end of the season, they were playing probably their best baseball.
No question.
They were really playing great baseball, which is exactly what this Eagles team is doing right now. They're playing their best football. And I think that the 2011 team, as far as overall talent, was one of the best, if not the best, most talented team we put together. And I see that in the 2025, you know, Eagles or 2024, yeah, sure. 25. Because so for me, the combination of having the 08 and 11 teams as far as one mojo and the other one talent, I think that's what I see in the in this Eagles football team.
Well,
and that's
lot,
why I'm so excited about it, because it's a very difficult thing to do to mesh those two things, and that's exactly what's happening.
Well,
right
I
now.
Will say this. I am struck by, you know, John. Look, I've flip-flopped on this like 17 different times. I still think there's a good chance Euro 4 Eagles was the best Eagles team, and it didn't win the Super Bowl. And look, I could be wrong. You can make a case for 17. You can make a case for 04. You can make a case for this team. I don't know. There's no way to prove anything. But,
man, that Eagles team.
My God, you guys.
Our roster, it really did feel like it was an all-star team. And then in the offseason, we added Terrell Owens and Javon Kurse.
Right.
All-star, right. Go get them on that side of the ball, the defensive side. Go get quarterbacks down on the ground.
Yeah.
Go give Donovan the best weapon he could ever have. And Trot coming back.
My point, though, is that team lost. Like, meaning you can be that good and lose.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It is massive achievement.
Your 11 Phillies, Ruben. Your 11 Phillies was the best team in baseball that year.
We just couldn't get past the Cardinals. Again, I just think that they have the right – the mix. I mean, I feel like this team, this Eagles team, is very – like the whole mentality is just like the 08 team. And that's why I think they're going to be a champion.
All right, Nick Sirianni soon.
Yep. It's the comfortable feel. It's not a stretch that this team has this in them.
Yeah.
They are ready. And, you know, Super Bowl 57, it's part of what helped them get ready to this point.
And Sirianni's done a great job, very much like Charlie Manuel. And like you're managing people. They're doing a tremendous job of managing the people and getting everybody pulling on the same side of the rope. And it's not just one or two guys, it's everybody pulling on the same side. And that's a very rare occurrence for a team.
And sure feels different than last year, you know, in December and early January when they felt fractured. All right, let's talk to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, gang. How are we today?
Great, Dan.
Joe, you went to Catholic school?
A few different times. Norwood and the prep and Fairfield.
But he's still a heathen.
Did you figure out the grade system?
Did I figure out the grade system?
Yeah. It would be impossible to fail if you got an 80 in the first two quarters.
I didn't say 80.
I'm saying the lowest grade the Catholic school system gave is a 60 because they did it by number. So if you got an 80 in the first
two quarters. Well, the prep might have its own system. I'm just telling you, I got an A, an F, and I got a B, an A, I got a B, an F, and an A in the first three things you're judged on that semester.
Yeah, we didn't get letter grade.
Well, I don't care what your school did. My school gave letter grade.
You sound average.
What do I care about your school? What do I care?
You don't care about North Catholic?
I do care about North Catholic. Right, I don't care about your approach to the grading system. Obviously, you're an example of they were too easy on you. There's no way you should have graduated.
No, I can tell
by your nonsensical nature here.
Wow.
I never got asked.
You're surprised he graduated? Nonsensical nature?
I'm playing around. All right, Dan, talk to me about the Birds.
Listen, a couple of things. I agree with you with the banner. Like, it should be hung, and if we win again, it should be hung, because every player that we sign or go to, they should come in and see excellence like the Patriots have and know what's expected of them. And then, did anybody notice the interaction of Jeffrey Lurie and Jake Elliott on the sideline after the game?
I did not.
It was very short. You know how he was hugging everybody?
Mm-hmm.
It was really, I found it odd. I found it like he really didn't want to interact with him.
It looked like Jeffrey didn't like him?
No, like Jeffrey's probably going to cut him or, you know what I mean?
Like, wow.
He just didn't want to, I don't know. If you go back and look at it, it's crazy. But you'll see, hugging everybody. He just kind of like patted him on the chest and kept walking. I thought it was pretty funny. But
I did not see that. I tell you, I've told you this story. Like, he told me basically that I was going to get cut before I got cut.
Lord,
I didn't even realize it.
Well, yeah, he's aware of that stuff. I mean, here's what I'll say, Dan. A moment like that, you're probably both congratulating and thanking players to a certain extent. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be cruel here, but there's less to thank Jake Elliott for than other players. I mean, it I, just I saw something the other day. He's missed 13 kicks this year, and he missed 11 in the previous 3 years combined. Think about that.
He interacted with about three players.
Yeah, it's been horrendous.
Before he got to him, and it was very, very different approach when he got
Yeah.
him.
Look, it's not Ruben with Adam Eaton in 08, but it's got, you know, right? I mean, Ruben, you can't give Adam Eaton the attaboy that you give Cole Hamels. You just can't.
No, you can't. Right. You can't? Didn't have the same contribution.
No, totally.
I would like to see that strained interaction, though. Because I do know between Jeffrey and our kicker.
Yeah. I'm not saying it was strained. I'm just saying he didn't seem like he had an...
Our kicker for this game, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is.
So let's keep our fingers crossed that however their relationship is working, it's working.
All right, Dan, give me a famous phrase.
Now, I didn't hear a lot of the phrases, but did anybody say may the force be with you?
No, and that's certainly a big one right there, my man. Yeah.
Especially for these guys.
I feel like
especially for the guy across the road.
We're interpreting it very widely here. I would say that's like a quote, no?
Well, I think some quotes are phrases. Many
it
quotes
is a
are phrases. I think
movie.
To me, phrase. Well, we're going both real life and movie. I would just say it can't be too long.
Well,
that's
not,
to me a phrase. Yeah. Doesn't have to be a sentence, but it can be. Mm-hmm. But it can't be a paragraph. May the force be with you. Short and to the point.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but I don't think Devin should have any say on it.
I agree with you. I agree.
The reason I didn't was because I thought we were just pulling like real life motivational quotes, okay. And I froze.
All right, neither of them have seen any of the Star
Well, that's
Wars
a whole
other
matter. All right, let's talk to Nick Sirianni. He's probably not watching Star Wars this week. He's getting ready for the Chiefs. He's getting ready for Super Bowl 59. He's done a masterful job this year. We welcome and congratulate the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great, coach.
Good, Nick. Nick, congratulations to you. I mean, major, massive congratulations. How do you feel?
Yeah, you know, excited, obviously, to be back in this spot. But, you know, it doesn't last long. I wish the wins would last a little bit longer. But, you know, we get home that night, we watched and see who we were going to play, and then, you know, had some fun with the family, and then it's right back to, okay, here we go. Let's watch some tape on the Chiefs. And so feel good, but, you know, we felt good on Sunday, and now it's just back to business as usual.
Yeah, as it should be. And, Nick, I totally respect that, of course. And I know most of this interview will be that. But let's just go to Sunday night a little bit more. The locker room. Your text messages coming in from family and friends and old teammates and old coach. Like, what was Sunday from 6:30 to midnight like for you?
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool to be able to, to sit there and, first and foremost, is celebrating with the players and the other coaches. That's always cool. And going around and just telling everybody how appreciative you are of them and, you know, hey, we got one more game. Let's enjoy this and have one more game. And it was, you know, to have, you know, pictures with your family on the field with confetti, you know, kind of rolling down on you. That's cool. That's something. The kids playing catch and my brother's playing catch with my kids after the game on the field. All those things are memories that will always be there with you. And then, you know, just again, like with the players, celebrating with the players. That's such a special moment because you work so hard, you spend your lifetime to get there, and then this team spent, you know, the last whatever many months, almost 9 months to try to get there, and so, you know, that's special. That is special, and so that was a good night, and like I said, they don't last long because you're just always focused on what the next step is.
Nick, how important is it to get good work done in practice this week because the atmosphere becomes a distraction in New Orleans?
Yeah, the stuff that we need to do this week is get a big chunk of the game plan done and redefine it next week, but get a big chunk of it done and install it and have great practices here. I do think you can get good practices there. It's just different. It's just, you know, you're taking a bus to practice as opposed to walking out on your practice field. You have media obligations beforehand. So there's a little bit, your day's chopped up a little bit different, but really this next week and a half is about how we get better. Right. And that's been our goal each and every week. How do we get better this week? How do we get better this week to put ourselves in a position to be successful on Sunday? And that's the same message now. And so, you know, we'll need to go out and have good practices, and that's, you know, and have good meetings and good walkthroughs. Just like we've had, you know, this entire season.
Nick, what did you learn in Super Bowl 57 that will put that you can apply to Super Bowl 59 that will give the team a better chance to win?
Yeah, I think you know, I think a lot of people will be like, "Hey, this is the rematch," and it is a rematch. But we're not. This is a completely different team, and they're a completely different team, right? There's elements and pieces that are the same. And so we're not thinking, you know, you obviously will watch the game. You'll watch the game we played last year against Kansas City, as in addition to all the film that you watch on them this year. But, you know, this is the 2024 season. You know, when you go through, you know, I'm not going to get into everything we're going to do, but every time you go through a game, hey, we played in a Monday night game. What can we do better on our Monday night schedule? What can we do better? What did we do well? Well, that was the same process we took in 2022. Now, you know, you lose the game in 22, and then you get back and you go through the same process. Win or lose, you go through the same process. What did we like? What did we not like? What can we do better? And so, that's from a scheduling, you know, atmosphere type deal. Like the things, like you don't get to this point of the year and say, as a football point, and go, hey, here's what we're going to do now, right? You go on, you know, that the football part is different. That's consistent. The scheduling stuff and those things like that, we have a couple tweaks that we'll make, and you know, in attempts to get better from it.
Is this team tougher than last year's team? How do you teach toughness to a team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it starts with having tough guys, right? And we have tough guys, right? And that's first and foremost. But I think you get what you emphasize as a coach. And we constantly, like, we look at toughness in three parts. We look at mental toughness, we look at physical toughness, and we look at relentless effort, which is a form of toughness. And so you were constantly trying to point those things out. Hey, watch the physical toughness of this block combination to the linebacker, and we'll show that in the team meeting. Then we'll show something like, hey, look at this first drive of what happened. We went 3 and out in this first drive, but look how we responded. Look at this mental toughness of this team, or you know, a defensive back gave up a play, and look how he responds with this PBU in a critical moment. That's mental toughness. And we're constantly showing our guys run with relentless effort to the football, or doing the selfless things with, you know, relentless effort. And so you just keep showing them over and over again. I think the a cool quote that I heard was, the burden of leadership is repetition. Like, you just keep going over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And like, coach, I can't do it. And you keep going over it and over it and over and over it. And you just keep doing that. And but I think, you know, you enhance that by what you do there. But at the end of the day, and at the start of the day, or however you want to say it, it starts with the players and their mentality and their mindset and their toughness.
Yeah.
You know, of that.
Nick Sirianni with us here, of course, getting ready for Super Bowl 59. Nick, you're officially listed as an underdog. Now, that could change, but it hasn't yet. Are you going to, you know, some coaches use that as a rallying cry. Do you plan on using that as a rallying cry with your guys?
No, we don't care about that. We don't care about that.
Nick, it's quite a change. I mean, it is sort of a departure. We've been the big bully for a while now. Do you welcome the fact that we're the underdog to some degree?
Nick, I expected you to say no, because I think you're very confident in your team, basically. And that's an external that just is irrelevant to you. That was my expectation of what you would answer. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way to put it. Yeah, we love our team. I think, though, too, like, you're going in there against a team that's won the last two Super Bowls. You know, it's a heck of a football team that's you know, won 15 games in the regular season, has phenomenal players all over the field, has, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time on the opposite sideline, and you know, I got so much respect for this team. And so, you know, again, those are things that you can't control. And so, yes, we're confident in our team, and I love our team. But you know, that's something you can't control, is, you know, being the underdog. Like, it is whatever that it means. Like, we don't care about that. It's about controlling what we can control. Because if you start trying to control, like, not control, if you start thinking about those things that you can't control, that where does that stop? And so it's, again, here's our process, here's what we need to do, and let's go out and do it.
Nick, one of the things about the game, you know, you've controlled all year the line of scrimmage, and the tush push has been a just incredible advantage now for multiple years. What Kansas City did was very impressive against Josh Allen last game. I mean, it's force versus force. Does it concern you a bit that they appear to be ahead of the curve at stopping that? I mean, how in your mindset is that as you prepare for this game?
Yeah, you look at every time you go into a game, I don't think it's a secret. You know, teams are going to know that we're running that. And anytime you go into that, you look at all the tape. You know, you watch every quarterback sneak that the defense has defended for the past couple years. I mean, you don't stop it just this year. Like, hey, how is this coordinator planning to stop this for the past, you know, two, three, four years. And so you look at all that, we'll look at the ones, and we've looked at the ones from the Buffalo game. They're obviously very good at it. So, you know, we're really good at it too. Like, when you get into games like this, I mean, there's a lot of moments where it's like, it's as good on good. You know, sometimes you go into a game and like, hey, and you look at, I don't know, maybe the turnover battle, and you say to yourself, hey, we got a big advantage here because we've taken care of the ball and they haven't. And you kind of go into that. But when you get into this, it seems like there's a lot of good on good. Hey, they're good at this, we're good at this. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got to play with fundamentals and technique, right? And I said that from the very beginning, when player A is really good at something, is really good player, and player B is really good at something, really good player, when coach is really good at, you know, when the coach calls the right call and the other coach calls the right call, what gives in those scenarios? Well, it comes down to your detail and your fundamentals. And so that's going to be a big part of this game, is your detail and your fundamentals as you go through.
This Chiefs team, they've 17 consecutive wins in one-score games. Those details are part of what makes them so hard to beat. How do you overcome that, Coach?
Yeah, that's a very impressive stat. That means they, when they get into those moments, they find ways to win. You know, you just continue to do the things that you've done. Like, I think our detail's been really good throughout the year. You know, when we talk about detail, we talk a lot about, you know, everyone being on the same page, and we talk a lot about situational football, and we talk a lot about fundamentals. And if you just go into fundamentals, like, at the end of the day, this game has some constants, right? It's about how you tackle. It's about how you block. It's about how you get off blocks. It's about how you take the football away. It's about how you protect the football. It's about how you catch the football. And so those details will always be constant in this game. The team that does that better, you know, has a better chance to win. And we'll focus on our details all week. That's something we can control and focus on those details all week, as I know they will as well. So, you know, but at the end of the day, we got to go out there and execute and call a good game as coaches and get the guys ready to play.
Nick, obviously it's a unique situation as, you know, your team and organization faces Andy Reid for the second time in a Super Bowl. I'm curious, you know, some coaches talk to other coaches quite a bit. You know, I'm sure you and Frank Reich, when he was coaching the Colts, I mean, I'm just curious, how often do you and Andy cross paths, interact? Is it literally just when it's my team versus your team, or are there other times during a year where you guys have some kind of communication?
You know, again, I didn't ever coach for Andy. So,
sure.
You know, maybe I hear, I've gotten a text message from here and there after a win. I've given him a text message here and there after a win, but you know, I didn't coach for him. He didn't, you know, don't have that history. I know he was here. And so, you know, you don't tend to share information or anything like that with guys that, you know, you don't know as well. So, I have my other mentors that I reach out to, but man, looking at watching Coach Reid, and you know, I got a lot of respect for everything that he's done. Obviously, he's one of the best. You know, I would say him and Bill Belichick, best, you know, coaches of all time, ever. As I look at it, as I study it, so a lot of respect there. you know, I'd love to be able to talk to him about stuff, but, you know, this is the second time we're competing for, for a world championship. I don't know if either of us are willing to give any information to each other, or, you know, I don't know if I have any information to give him, but I know I'd get a lot from him. So, no, just can't tell you how much respect I have for him, and just the, you know, his the way he leads a football team, you know, his offensive mind, and just total respect of everything that he's done in his career.
Nick, do you feel like you've improved at motivating your team, your guys, and how do you consistently get this response, this emotional response from your players at the start of every game? They come out ready to play.
Yeah, I think you get better at everything if you're really working on everything, and you have a and if you're realistic with yourself and say, hey, I need to get better here, and you always can get better, as you guys know, you're always looking for ways to get better. And so, you know, my constant message to the team is how are we getting better this week, you know, and that's always through toughness, detail, together is what we talk about a lot. And you know, I guess if I'm asking them to do that, I better be getting better myself. And so, yeah, I think so. That's my goal, and that's my mission, is to always get better at that. I've spent a lot of time looking at different things, and you know, these guys are self-motivated too. They really are. Like, these guys want this thing bad. And I'm telling them the truth of football. Again, hey, the toughest team's going to win. Mental, physical, and who plays with great effort. Hey, the team that plays with great detail with their fundamentals and their situational football and being on the same page is going to win. Hey, the closest team together is going to win. And so you just find different ways of saying that over and over and over again, and to motivate what you want the culture to be. But at the end of the day, it's not the words; it's your actions that get your culture. You know, it's your habits and your actions. So, yeah, hopefully I've gotten better at that. That's always my goal. And again, at the end of the day, we're preaching the truths of football that were true when you played. Right, they're true when my dad played. They're going to be true when my sons play and when my grandsons play. So, sure. Which I don't have yet. So, but you know, that's the truth of football. And you just, you know, I think that everyone, when they really look at it, the best teams they've been on have been tough. They've been detailed and they've been together.
You know, Nick, if you win this game, I want you to know we are fully supportive of you taking the whole family to the podium. All right, just want you to know that. The kids,
well,
your
it.
Wife, the parents, take them all, Nick. Hey, Nick, let me tell you this. Again, congratulations on what you've done to this point. You know this, but I'll say it. The town is beyond psyched. And we here with our show, and obviously WIP is a station, and I know I speak for the entire region when I say we truly wish you the best of luck in Super Bowl 59. And I don't know how else to put it other than good luck, and God bless you in the game, Nick.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick, stay well. Have fun out there, and we'll talk to you. Take care, Nick.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. James, I don't know what to say at the end other than good luck.
Yeah,
I
mean, just go win. Yeah.
Go win. That'd go be a win, little baby. Declarative. Like, Ruben, would that be a go win, Nick?
Nick, go win.
I think that's Boom. Probably his goal, too. So he's got it.
I would say so.
Yeah, right, you know what you sounded like there at the end when you didn't want to say goodbye?
Yeah.
Like when you're first dating somebody and you don't want to be the one to hang up.
Well, it's just, it's funny. So.
Great call.
It's funny. It's not how it felt to me, but I can understand how you would think that. I just didn't know how to land the plane.
It's tough.
That's a hard one.
I don't know how to land the plane when it's the last time we're going to talk to the Eagles coach before he coaches in the Super Bowl.
You're like, do good, Nick.
Yeah.
Go get it, buddy.
You know, you can't
go
give
get him,
a,
kid.
You can't give him a go get him. You know?